In Jesus' precious name. Thank you for Marcus for what you shared about heaven. Yesterday, Tom's family celebrated the passing of his brother Louis. And just the reminder that there's coming a day where we all have to answer. And it'll determine how we live today will determine where we'll be. Many of you know that Vonda and I were at a funeral in Ohio a couple weeks back of a dear friend that passed. And I want to read to you his last text. There was four of us together that we were kind of a little group. We attended school together, and we had a text group for the four of us that we would text back and forth. There's a lot of banter and a lot of goofiness, and there's a lot of seriousness in those texts. But I want to read the last sentence that he texted to us as a group. He said, "I'll join you in that state of being once we're all together in glory." Not knowing that that was going to be reality pretty quick. And it just makes it all the more special to know that Louis and my friend Gaylord, I believe, are both walking on the streets of gold. They're with their Savior, the one that they loved. I guess that's my desire when I die, that there's no question where I'm at. But it's going to depend on how I live my life today. We could probably just end right there, leave that as our message for today. I want to talk this morning for a bit about the family. I got this listed as the family part one. And there's a possibility that Paul or Chad might continue with this in a different part. I've been looking at 1 Corinthians a lot, and then I've skipped away from 1 Corinthians. I've gone to other scriptures. And the last time I shared, I believe I shared out of 1 Corinthians 9, I think. And talking a little bit about living with purpose. So this morning is going to be a little different. I have a lot of scriptures this morning. I've got most of them on the overhead here. And I'm going to read some at the beginning here, and then we'll spend more time with what we have on the overhead using a lot of scripture this morning. Family. All of us enjoy family, I'm guessing. I find the older I get, the more I enjoy. Paul, you talked about having your grandkids here. The older I get, the more I enjoy family getting together. And just family time. It's so good. I want to look this morning a little bit at family. Where did family start? And then we'll continue, because family will continue to go on as we look at this. It'll go on into headship order, and then into the family of God is what I've been looking at. But today I'd like to look at family. Where did family start? Before we go there, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 128. And I would like to read Psalm 128 to you at the beginning here. Before I read that, I'd like to read an article that was written about Psalm 128. And this is written by John Brug. And this is what he said about Psalm 128. He said, "This psalm, which is a blessing on the family, is also a blessing on the nation. Because as a family goes, so goes the nation. The blessing of a nation starts with godliness in the hearts of parents. Such parents fear God and obey His commandments. Their strength flows to the children through the contentment and peace it produces in the family. From solid families, strength flows to the nation. From solid, godly families come workers who will build up the nation, parents who will raise godly children, and children who are our hope for the future. Without such families, the future is dark. From such families, the nation and the church will find strength. I know you just stood, but I'd like for you to stand again as we read Psalm 128, for those of you who comfortably can. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. You may be seated. Just a psalm that talks a bit about the blessing of family, about the man who fears the Lord. I'm one who is a strong supporter of the family spending time together praying and reading God's Word. I believe that is extremely important. I'm also one who is a strong supporter of families eating together, sitting around the table and enjoying fellowship over food. I think is really, really important. I remember years back I heard a preacher talk about no longer do we eat together. We're not like gas stations. We cruise into the kitchen, we get our food, we fill up, and we're gone. But I believe it's important to spend time together as families around the table. In 1975, there was what do they call it? Anyhow, 80% of families ate together. 1975, statistics would tell us that 80% of families ate together. Now we come to 2022, a couple years back here. 29% of families eat together every night. That's a drop. Pretty big drop. 23% eat together 4 to 6 times per week. 16% said they eat together 2 to 3 times per week. 91% of these parents that eat together said their household is less stressed when they eat together. I think back to my growing up years and sitting around the table, eating together, and just enjoying family. I think it's something that's pretty important. I want to read a little bit out of, and you don't have to turn to this, but I want to read a little bit out of Deuteronomy, where they were talking about the family, and there were some commands that were given. And these commandments, they were statutes. Let me just read it here in Deuteronomy 6. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Why? That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Then he said, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Then here's what he said that they are to do. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In other words, he is our God. Then it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them, talking here to the parents, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Some very, very good advice given to the children of Israel, which also is good advice for us today, to teach our children wherever we are at. Now I'm going to try to, I've got my computer up here this morning, which I normally don't, but I've got my some of my notes on here. So I'm going to try to correlate that and the screen together. So, men, we'll see where we go this morning. Genesis 1, before we go to that one, I'd like to ask some of the children. Genesis 1:1, who can quote that verse? The first verse in the Bible. Anybody know it? Go ahead and say it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Mena, let's see if I can get to that one. Am I pushing the wrong button? There we go. Thank you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So what we see today was created. Everything has been created. Everything has a beginning. Families have a beginning. Anything that we see today, something had to be created for that to be made. We have nothing on this earth, this piece of paper. Something had to be created so this piece of paper could be made. It's actually a pretty simple thought that God created everything. But then it's not so simple. Because later on we find out, let's go to the next verse there, Colossians 1:6. Uh-oh. Let's back up a little bit. Colossians 1:6 says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." So I'm not sure that I can understand everything about creation. I know I can't. And I'm sure you can't either. But we believe it by faith. Because the God that we believe in, we know that He is real. We've experienced it. Irma has experienced a lot. Sam and Frida have experienced a lot. Many of us here have experienced healings. We've experienced things in life. We know God is real. For by Him were all things created. Everything we see, everything we have, it was all created. What was before this? Before the creation. Genesis 1:2 says, "And the earth was without form." I've tried to imagine a little bit, what was that like? I don't really know, but without form means nothingness, is really what that means. And void, it says empty. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. So what all took place there, I don't know. But maybe someday we can ask God and He can explain it to us. But it was empty. There was nothingness. Moses, when he was talking, when he was writing in Psalm 90 here, I have that up there. "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Moses knew where his confidence was at. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." God has always been. God is one that was never created. We get to that one, that one stumps me. My mind doesn't go that far. I can't figure this thing out. How has God always been? He never had a beginning. He's never going to have an end. But that's a God that we serve. And Moses here in Psalm, he says, "From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." Moses believed that. And I believe it. And I'm sure you do too. that God is eternal. When Moses was asked to go talk to Pharaoh about the children of Israel, about setting them free, Moses asked God a question. He said, well, what about when I go talk to my people? Who do I tell them that sent me? Exodus 3:14. This was God's answer to Moses. He said, tell him this. He said, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Self-existent. He is God. I am that I am. And again, I'm not sure that I can understand that, but I know God is sovereign. I know He is over all. And I know He has called me into and you into that family. Yesterday I talked to a guy that doesn't know the Lord. And when I explained to him that salvation is for all people, I could tell it wasn't something that really sunk in. And I tried to explain a little bit more, and he left. God is sovereign. He is overall. There is none greater. I want to make sure we get that into our minds this morning. We are secure in Him, the one who created us, the one who made everything, the one who is sovereign. We are secure in Him. So now let's go to Genesis 2. We're going to be hopping around in Genesis for a bit here. Genesis 2, verse 7. We're going to talk a little bit more about creation, about man being created. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I don't know what this was like. I tried to picture a little bit in my mind. So God's here and He's got the dust and He's making a man. He's creating something. And then He breathes life into him. And because He breathed life into him, man became a living soul. And that was passed on down to us. We also have a living soul within us. But here God formed man. And we believe this by faith. We weren't there. But we believe it because we know God. This soul is never going to lose life. There's always going to be life. There is an eternity where this soul, this spirit will live. We've all been created to live in this life for a certain amount of time. But we've been created to ultimately be with God. We have a beginning, each one of us. But we are created to ultimately be with God throughout all of eternity. Genesis 1:26. We're backing up a little bit now. And again, he's talking here about creation. And God said, let us, that is the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have to, let me back up a little bit. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. I hesitated sharing this morning, but I'm going to. God created male and female. You know, we think there's no reason that we should have to talk about this in church. But the fact is, there are many, many churches today that are accepting the fact that we can change our anatomy. I'm not satisfied being a man, so I'm going to have them change me to be a woman. Not satisfied being a woman, so I'm going to try to be a man. And the reason I want to say this morning is because Satan is not satisfied with male and female being a couple. He would so much love to see something good that God made and twist it into something else. So this morning I'm here to declare that God made both sexes. And it takes both of them to create new life. It does not work male and male, and it does not work female and female. I don't care what they tell you. God created it for His glory and for us here in this earth. You know, here's the interesting thing. The doctors say that you can change the anatomy. You can change the outside. Men have an XY chromosome. If I understand that correctly, I'm not a doctor. I'm not very intelligent in this. But that never leaves. It doesn't matter what they do. That part never leaves. The DNA never changes. They cannot change it. Because God is sovereign. They can change the anatomy, the outside. And they can doctor it up to where it looks like male or female. But it hasn't changed inside. Because God is sovereign. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That does not work with male and male or female and female. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I believe today we profane God's holy name when this is the direction that we go. God is not going to be mocked. He just will not. He is God. Let's go on to Genesis 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man and the woman, and there He put the man who He had formed. And then Genesis 2, 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I don't know how many of you have read the book, I mentioned it before, called Heaven. I know Irma's been reading it. Been listening to it, and it changed my view on some things about heaven. I challenge you to dig into that book. Maybe we don't agree with everything. But the idea that God put Adam into this garden, he was still by himself. He didn't have Eve at this point. He was by himself. And God gave him a job. You're to be here to take care of this garden, to dress it, to keep it. I love taking care of plants. I think Carl does too. Steve Yoder, we love taking care of plants. We love seeing things bloom. That was Adam's job. Sounds like a pretty good job to me. But man was created to live in a setting of peace and blessing. There was joy. There was no wickedness. There was no sin. But God saw something. We'll see that in the next verse. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help. And I want to explain this a little bit. Oftentimes we say, I will make him an help meet for him. I will make him an help meet for him. In other words, suitable for him. And in verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet or suitable for him. I've always thought, you know what? I wonder if Adam saw this. I wonder if Adam paid attention. I think he probably did. But there's something here that I never paid attention to. God said, it's not good that man should be alone. That was God's idea. Even though Adam might have thought about it, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Family. God seeing that family is important. So Adam was busy. He was given names to the animals. I'm really wondering, where did Adam come up with his names? Maybe we'll ask him someday. But God saw that it wasn't good that Adam was by himself. And then God did the first surgery. Genesis 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." God knew Adam needed somebody to walk with him. Being with the animals was not enough. Adam needed companionship. And as humans, we also desire companionship. And God has us at different places in this. But God realized that there was a void there. And he began to start putting together leadership. We'll look at that later on. But this already was a place where God was starting to put together leadership of how it's supposed to be in life. Now we come to Genesis 2 verse 16. Sorry, we're doing a lot of hopping around here. Verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So Adam's in this garden, everything's beautiful. He said, "You can eat anything you want to in this garden." I can't imagine what the food was like, but I'm guessing it was very, very good. But then he said this in verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So now we have Adam. He's still by himself. God gave him a command. And he said, "Adam, you can have anything, but not this tree." I don't find anywhere that Adam didn't understand. It doesn't state that he doesn't. I think Adam understood. Then we go to Genesis chapter 3 in verse 1. There we go. Genesis 3 verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So now we have the serpent. Satan was in the serpent, I believe, came and starts to question. We now have Adam and Eve together in Genesis 3. They are now a couple, the beginning of the family, and Satan already hates the family at this point. "Yea, hath God said." He starts to question. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And it makes you wonder, Adam, what are you thinking? But again, we realize that Satan is out to destroy. He takes something really, really good, like I said before, and twists it into something not good. And it brings question to Eve. And she ate, and she shared with her husband, and he ate. Because of this, there are consequences. Sin always brings consequences. There was a curse. I want to turn to that so I don't get this wrong. Genesis 3. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of the life." There was enmity between him and the woman, between her seed and his seed. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So that was a curse that was brought on this serpent. I tried to look up a little bit. What was the serpent like before that? There's some thoughts, there's some ideas, but nobody really knows. I've already heard it say that the serpent was one of the most beautiful beings in the garden. But I couldn't find anything like that. It actually said that. But there was a curse placed on the serpent. There were consequences for Adam and Eve. First he talked to the woman and he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So having children was going to be painful. There's a lot that goes with that. But again, we start seeing headship put into place. Then verse 17, he talks to Adam. And he says, Adam, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, you ate of the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shouldn't eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face, and that's the last verse that I have up here, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So because of sin, we now have death. When I think about family, I think about good times and I think about life. But then we face reality like we faced yesterday and the other week. And we realize that life is temporal. It's just temporary here on this side. But we have a God who is sovereign. This gives us just a little bit of a picture of the beginning of man, the beginning of family. We'll find out later on that the first family wasn't perfect. And I can guarantee you that every family that's here this morning is not perfect. If you tell me you're perfect, I'd like to explain that to me in a little bit here. But we all have struggles in life, don't we? I just want to encourage you this morning. No, our families aren't perfect, but we love each other. And that's the way we function. Love does not mean that we're going to agree with changing the anatomy. I even hate to mention this, but Amy Grant, a gospel singer, Christian singer, made a statement that because of love, it changes everything. It's all good. I say because of love, because we love God, we're going to walk with Him in obedience. Scripture is very clear that sin is sin, and we can't get around that. So this is the beginning of mankind. So a few things that I want to take away from this morning. God is eternal. He always was. I don't understand that. But He always will be. And we can be in His presence. All of us have been created by a God who loves us. We were not just a haphazard extra. God created us for a purpose. We all have value. And He loves us very dearly. That's who we are. Even though our lives on earth are just temporary, we all have a beginning. And according to this life, we have an end, but eternally, we have no end. We can be with Him throughout all of eternity. God created male and female. We want to be sure of that. And with this, He said, you are to replenish the earth. Sin brings forth death. Our bodies will return to the earth again, but our souls will live eternally. And I'd like for you to stand, if you would, please. And I'm again going to read Psalm 128. But this time I'd like to read it out of the NLT. And it just helps us understand just a little bit clearer what He's telling us. And thinking about family, thinking about the beginning of family, and the joy that we can have in family. Psalm 128, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor, how joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. And may Israel have peace. Let's bow our heads. God, this morning we are so grateful again for your creation, for family. We're thankful, Lord, that you saw us long before we were born. We're thankful that we can be a part of a family eternally. And we know, Lord, it starts here by having family in a way that we have families today. God, I pray that we would treasure our families. And Lord, as we sit together, as we eat together, and as we read your word and pray, we would realize that you are here in the midst. Your Holy Spirit is within us and will not leave us. God, the reminder is also here of family members who are no longer with us. And we grieve because the circle of life, it happens, Lord. I pray for grace and comfort for all of us here this morning. And I pray for courage as we leave here today, Lord, to cherish our families. And Lord, to realize that you are sovereign. So we worship you. And we praise you for who you are. Dismiss us with your blessing. We're so thankful again, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ernie?